As we'll read verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews 2, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Several years ago, I was in North Carolina in a revival meeting. I was invited to speak in the local school, which is something you don't get an opportunity to do very much in this day. I spoke in one of the classrooms, and God blessed to such a degree that one of the other teachers asked me if I'd stay and teach the second class. So I stayed and taught the next one. God blessed it to such a degree that some of the young people came up and asked if I'd teach their supernatural class. And I said, "You're what kind of class?" They said, "Our supernatural class." I said, "You're kidding." They said, "Oh, it's not listed as supernatural. It's listed as literature such and such a number. But we call it our supernatural class." I said, "You ask the professor for permission, and I'd be glad to speak to it." So I went into their literature class. I was stunned when I walked through the door. Here were pamphlets on witchcraft, on demons, on all kinds of sorcery. I was shocked to find it in the schoolroom. And they don't even want you to have a Bible in the schoolroom. And there they were teaching witchcraft. Oh, my blood almost boiled. I wanted to preach on everything I could think about automatically. I thought, "Lord, I'll unload on this class," and then I couldn't think of anything to preach. I wanted to preach everything. So I thought the best thing for me to do is to ask them what they would like for me to discuss. Looking at all the material, I thought they will surely ask something about astrology, or witchcraft, sorcery of some type. So I opened the floor for questions. And I only had one question asked, and I spent the entire class answering it. Now, can you imagine what the question was? It surprised me. The one thing they wanted to know more than anything else. One said, "Brother Shipman, what do you believe about life after death?" That was it. Oh, that's like saying "sick 'em" to a dog. See, death is only the doorway to eternity. And Jesus came and died in death to destroy him who had the power of death. That was the devil. And did you notice the little word "had"? That's past tense. Satan had the power of death. He doesn't have it anymore. Jesus Christ carries the keys to death and hell on his right side. So Jesus has taken the fear out of death for the children of God. He suffered death for us. He took the sting out of death so that we will not be stung by it. But they wanted to know, what about life after death? Well, I realize this, ladies and gentlemen. The one inevitable certainty of our day is death. This is a confusing, perplexing age. There are issues and crisis, everybody disagreeing with everybody else. But there's one thing of which all people must agree. We are going to die. But what is beyond the grave? Some atheists say there is no God. The agnostics laugh and scoff at the existence of a supreme eternal being. But to the children of God, Jesus Christ has the answer to eternity, because Jesus was before Bethlehem and he is after the graveyard. And so Jesus Christ is the author of heaven and hell. And what's on the other side of the grave? Last year especially, I learned more so, I guess, than any other year, that death is no respecter of persons. While in Loosedale, Mississippi, I received a telephone call from my wife to tell of the death of Heather Pelkey. Heather was a 2-year-old daughter of Rob and Joan Pelkey, who were precious friends of ours. And if I didn't learn anything else from that experience, I learned that a cardiac arrest can happen to a 2-year-old. While Heather was on the operating table undergoing what they termed minor surgery, she had a cardiac arrest and died. Now, we don't think of a 2-year-old having a cardiac arrest, which is a heart attack, but she did. And the reason it happened is that death is no respecter of persons. The same week that happened, an 18-year-old young man, used to be one of my former church members, was out jogging, and he and another young man ran in front of an automobile and were killed instantly. But death doesn't respect the 2-year-old or the 18-year-old. Death can happen to the 80, the 90, the 100, or the 2, or the infant, because death is no respecter of persons. So death will happen to all of us, ladies and gentlemen, but death is a doorway. That's all it is. Death doesn't end it all. To some, they believe in reincarnation, that you'll come back, depending on how good you were, even an advanced stage or a lesser stage. I'm glad I don't believe that I'll come back as a horse or a cow or a dog or a flower. You won't find that teaching in the Word of God. You don't have reincarnation, you have regeneration. And yet to some, they believe that death is the annihilation of self. It's the end of everything. There's nothing beyond the grave. There are some who say there is no heaven. There are others who say there is no hell. But Jesus Christ taught both. And that death is only the doorway to heaven or to hell, depending on whether or not you're ready to die. So death is nothing more than the departing of the spirit through the doorway into eternity, either to heaven or to hell. To the child of God, it's the departing of his spirit to be with Jesus Christ. In other words, heaven is a place. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. That's Paul's destination and his estimation. Now, if you've never been saved, it is also a departure, but it is a departure to hell. Now, did you know it really doesn't make any difference what you believe about hell? It doesn't change the existence of hell. It doesn't matter what you believe about heaven. It doesn't change the existence of heaven. I'm just grateful to God that when I pass through the doorway of death, I'm not going to hell. Thank God I'm headed to heaven. Death is the departure of your spirit. James says, the body without the spirit is dead. On the cross, Jesus released his spirit and said, into thy hands, our Father, I give my spirit. This is what Stephen was saying when he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The instant the child of God dies, his spirit goes immediately to be with Jesus. According to Luke 16, when the sinner dies, he goes immediately to hell, where he is not annihilated. He's conscious in a lake of torment, in a place of torment, of fire, ladies and gentlemen. But to the child of God, he doesn't go to a worse place. He goes to a better place. Paul said, if I die, it just means I'm going somewhere. He said, I have a desire to depart, which means to disembark, to leave, to head out, to go where I'm going, that I must die to get there. You know, it dawned on me one day, I can't go to heaven without dying. You say, well, Jesus will come, we won't have to die. Even in the rapture, that is an immediate change. And when we're changed, that's a type of death, because it's the departing of your spirit to be with Jesus Christ. So that if I die tonight, it just meant I went to the place I couldn't have got there unless I died. So the death is just a doorway to somewhere. And Paul said, my destination is home or heaven to be with Christ. I understand a little bit about that. This past year, or this year, they gave a big homecoming for my mother-in-law. She was 80 years old, and being her birthday, her children came from all over. She had at that time a daughter in Orlando, Florida, one in Atlanta, one in Fort Smith, Arkansas, One Tucson, Arizona, and a brother, and of course my wife in Tupelo. They all converged for the homecoming, for the big party. Each one tried to beat the other one there. When one would walk through and see the other one, she would say, "Well, what are you doing here? I thought I beat you home." And the other one would say, "No, I beat you." You know, that's the way it is when I die. If you die before I do and you went to heaven, I'm going to look at you over sitting at the table and say, "What are you doing here?" And you'll say to me, "Well, I just beat you home." And if I go before you do and you're going to heaven and you die and I'm already there, you'll be shocked to find out I'm already there. And I'll say, "Ha ha, I beat you." That's what heaven is. That's what death is to the child of God. It's the departing of the Spirit to be with Jesus. That's our destination. And Paul said, "My estimation is it would be far better." The longer I live, the more I understand his statement. When I was a young man, and I'm not old tonight, listen, 43 is not near as old as I thought he was. When I was a youngster, I thought it was ancient to be 43. But the longer I live, the more I understand Paul's statement. It can be better to die than to live. I remember my dad. My dad was a disabled soldier from the First World War. And over the years, Daddy had drunk liquor until he was 65 and got saved one night at 2:30 in the morning and lived 14 years thereafter and never touched another drop. But he was weak and frail in body. Finally got to where he couldn't hardly see, couldn't hardly hear, got to where he couldn't get out of the house. He'd tie his old house shoes on his feet and go clopping through the house. One day I was over at the house visiting with Daddy and Mother, and I heard Daddy praying. Or it's kind of being hard to hear him. He'd pray loud enough I could hear him and everybody else in the house. And he'd pray, "Jesus, why don't you come and get me? Jesus, I can't hardly hear. I can't hardly see. I can't hardly walk. Jesus, why don't you come and get me?" One day I heard him praying and he recognized I heard him and he came and patted me on the knee and said, "Now, son, it's not that I don't love you and it's not that I don't love the children, but," said, "I'd be better off if Jesus came and got me." You know, I understood a little bit about that when Daddy died. See, there can come a time when you can desire for things to be better than what they are. You have to do a lot of things in this life you don't want to do. One of the things I thought I'd never do was put my mother in a nursing home. My mother's in Senatobia Nursing Home in Senatobia, Mississippi tonight. We always said, "We'll always take care of her," and we did to the best of our ability. But my mother has hardening of the arteries. Now, I remember this past December, a year ago, I was on my way to Clarksdale one night to preach a meeting. And I stopped by the nursing home. Mother was sitting in a wheelchair at the end of the hall. I went and got on my knees before. And for the first time in my life, my mother looked at me and didn't know who I was. It's a funny feeling, ladies and gentlemen, for the lady who birthed you and nursed you and took care of you to look you in the face and not know who you are. She didn't know me from any other person that lived on the face of the earth. I went and got in the car, started to the meeting. I was as low as I could be emotionally. Really in no shape to preach that meeting that night. The thought came to me, my mother will never be any better. I began to picture all those people that were around in the nursing home. I thought they'll never be any better either. But all of a sudden, like a wind blew from glory, like there was a surge inside my heart, and the voice that said, "There'll never be a time but what it'll be better for the saints." All of a sudden, I thought, it may get bad for Mama, and it may get bad for me, and then my worst days may be ahead physically, but thank God it'll never get so bad but what it's going to be better one of these days. I won't tell you, dear sir, if you're not saved, it'll never be a time of what it'll be worse for you. But if you are saved, there'll never be a time but what it'll be better for the saints of God. Oh, you may see some sickness and you may see some sorrow, and cancer may eat away at your body, but one of these glorious days, it's going to be better for you. And Paul said, "I got a desire to get out of this body. What I'm telling you is, if you're not saved, your departure is a place where it's worse. But if you are saved, your departure is to a place that it's better than you've ever known it. That's the reason I tell people, don't feel sorry for the saints. Thank God we've got it made.
Amen.
You say, but you don't act like it on this earth. This is not our earth, thank you. We gave this up when we were saved. We're going to live on a new earth and a new house and a new city where dwelleth righteousness in under a new heaven, and our best times yet to come. Paul said, I got a desire to get out of this body because it just means I'm going somewhere to be with Christ. See, that's the way it was with Daddy. Listen, the Bible said the last enemy that should be put down by Jesus is death. But death was my enemy and my daddy's friend. I couldn't say that the day Daddy died. But later I got to thinking about it. You know, when Daddy was walking through the house, and he was saying, I can't hardly see, I would like to have gone over and said, Daddy, I'm going to fix it so you can see. But I couldn't. When he was saying, I can't hardly hear, I would like to have gone over and said, Daddy, I'm going to fix it so you can hear. But I couldn't. When he was walking and clopping those old house shoes, I would love to have said, Daddy, I'm going to fix it so you can walk. But I couldn't. But my daddy was like a bird in a cage that had been shut up in the cage and would like to get out into the blue and stretch its wings and fill its lungs with the atmosphere, with the air. But it couldn't. And then one day someone comes along and flips the door of that little bird's cage, and that bird all of a sudden flies outside the door. It's free. It's liberated from its bondage. It's no longer encaged. And so it fills its lungs with the air, and it stretches its wings, and it soars out into the blue. Well, one day, one night, at 15 minutes till 11 o'clock, death came along and flipped my daddy's cage. All of a sudden, my daddy got out of that old body, and thank God he didn't hear. Thank God he didn't see. Thank God he didn't walk in that new spirit, in that spirit of his. He doesn't have his new body yet. He'll get that at the resurrection. But he doesn't have to have a body in glory, because God's a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. And the spirit of Jesus was a spirit before he got a body. And he's the only one of the Godhead got a body. And the rest of us don't need one till the resurrection.
Amen.
That's right. But a body in see, and a body in hear, and a body in feel. Our spirit can as well as the body. And that's the reason death was my daddy's friend. Oh, I'd love to kept Daddy around, but Daddy got to where he couldn't hardly walk. And Death said, I'm going to fix it for you, Ship, so you can walk. Oh, Death was my daddy's friend. Liberated him from that old body. And you know, I've seen Death do that to some glorious saints of God. I've seen some saints come down to their dying day. And boy, it looked like everything was terrible. But boy, when Death came, it liberated them from that house they lived in, and they moved to another house. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I got a desire to get out of this tabernacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about being unclothed, that he might be clothed upon with his body from on high. This coat I have is the clothing for the body. But my body is the clothing for the spirit. And they both wear out. This old suit wears out. It gets old and it gets wrinkled. Just like your body for your spirit. Now, some of you ladies do the best you can to stay young and fix yourself up, but honey, you are getting old. Now, don't stop fixing it up, amen? It needs a lot of help the older it gets. Amen? Now, listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. You don't have but two choices, die young or get old. Amen, and I want the latter. That's right. But if I live long enough, this old body's not permanent press and wrinkle resistant. It's going to wear out. It's going to rot. It's going to decay. But glory to God, I got a new one, eternal in the heavens. It won't die. And God's going to take my spirit out of this old body and dress me up and deck me out in my new body. And you hadn't seen anything look as pretty as that will. You say, you don't look too hot tonight. No, but you wait till I get my new body. Boy, that's what Paul said. He said, this one I have wearing out. And said, I got one eternal in the heavens. That's the reason, dear sinner friend, you need to be saved. God doesn't save you and take away the good and give you the bad. He saves you and takes away the bad and gives you the good. It's better to be saved than it is to be lost. You say, well, look what I got to give up. What you got to give up? It's not what you give up. It's what you get. Glory to God. I can give up anything but hell and an old body that's wearing out. Oh, it's getting worse for this body, but it's going to get better for it someday. And that's what Paul was saying. Now, Paul also said in the last letter he wrote, and you know his last words are always precious. 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, God revealed to him it was time for him to die. And I believe God does that to some of his saints. He shows them it's time to depart. It's time to leave out. So God told him the time of his departure had arrived. The word is translated for departure means loosing of the mooring. The moorings means the ropes or the chains or the anchors that's holding it at bay. Paul's concept was of a ship that was in harbor, held by the chains, and couldn't get free to go to sea. I can understand that better by airplane language. They didn't have airplanes in that day. They had ships. But I don't sail on ships. I've flown on airplanes for about 15 years. One of the things I have to do when I fly, and of course I can't fly right now because of the hearing, but for the last 15 years when I've flown, I always called into the airport. Into Delta Airlines, American Airlines, Ozark Airlines, whatever the airline was, and secured me a reservation. I said, I've got me a destination I want to go to. Well, the attitude I had toward the flight I was fixing to make was determined by the place I was going and the person I was going to see. Now, I made some flights out of Tupelo, Mississippi, that almost tore my emotional track apart. I've told my wife and children many times, don't hang around the airport when my airplane leaves. See, I'm a family man. I love my family. And to see them on the ground and me get on the airplane, and it's departure time, and I'm already on board, and they've shut the door and revved up the engines and lifted off, and I look out, and they're standing there waving like that. What it does to my emotional track shouldn't be done to an individual. I want to sit down right then. Now, that's how it is when a person dies, especially a young person who looks around the room, and there's mom and daddy that he's leaving. There's brother and sister that he's leaving, and everything on the inside of him just looks terrible. Oh, sometimes what we see in this life kind of causes defeat on the inside of us. But wait until that person dies. The instant he dies, he'll realize he's home. But let me tell you another side of that same story. After I've been gone a week, I call in to make sure I got my reservation on my return trip to the house. Now, when I get on an airplane going home, I'm not like I am when I lift off. I'm always there early. I want to be sure I'm an hour early before the airplane arrives. I check on the departure time. I watch my watch. And my attitude is, I'll be glad to get on the airplane because I'm headed to the house. And I'll watch it. And soon the agent says, flight 701 departing for Tupelo, Mississippi is now ready for boarding. I jump up and say, I'm ready. And I'm as close to the front as I can get. I don't want that little plane leaving without me. It's headed to my house where my loved ones are. Well, when that plane lifts off the ground, I don't care if the preacher and the rest of them are still down there waving. I say, see you later, fellas. I'm headed to the house. And finally that airplane pulls around Tupelo, Mississippi, and it begins to circle and it begins to bank, and I get to looking out the window and I see those little ones down there waving, saying, hey, daddy, come on, get off that airplane. Well, that's the attitude Paul has. Paul says, I'm getting down to the end of my life now, and said the time of my flight has come, and I'm fixing to get on board that ship, and said they're already loosened the chains and lifting the anchor, and said they don't have but one more to go, and said I'm already on board. God's already shown me on that spiritual airplane ride, and he said it's time for me to leave. I was in this meeting not too long ago, and this lady said to me, he said, preacher, I do not have a living relative left. Said, my husband's gone, my brothers and sisters are gone, and said, there's no one left for me. And she said, "I'll be glad when Jesus comes to get me." Now, can you imagine that dear lady's thrill? Whenever the heavenly airplane of God comes in and takes her aboard and takes her up there to heaven, takes her home. And can you imagine those on the other side waiting for her to get off that heavenly airplane? What I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that death is just the doorway to eternity. And if we're saved, if we've been born again, it's the doorway to heaven. It's the doorway to home. And we'd rather be there than any other place. And you can't get there without dying. Now, one other thing. Amen. Help me, honey. Amen. Now, it's one thing to depart the body, but what are you going to do with the body? What's going to happen to the body? You got to do something with the body. Our death is not only the departing of the spirit, but it's the depositing of the body. You got to do something with the body. But if I die tonight, that's your responsibility and not mine. You're the one going to have to do something with it. You'll have to call Mama Shipman and the undertaker, and they're going to take it out and put it in the cemetery. And you know what the Bible calls it? It calls it a sleep. Now, don't let anyone teach you soul sleep, spirit sleep. The soul does not stay out in the graveyard till the resurrection. The spirit does not stay out in the graveyard till the resurrection. It goes immediately to be with Jesus. But the Bible does teach that the body's asleep. Sure, it decays and rots, but to God, it's just asleep. 2 Thessalonians teaches that. 1 Thessalonians, all the scripture teaches, not soul sleep, body sleep. Now, if I died tonight, if you died tonight, you just step through the doorway. Let's put the doorway right in the middle, right here. And you're on this side, this is the earth. On the other side is heaven. You can't see heaven. All you can see is what's over here. If I died tonight, you wouldn't see it. But I would step through the doorway of eternity. But my old body would crumple to the floor. Just like your daddy did when he died. If your daddy was saved and you loved him, it broke your heart when he died. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with weeping over your loved ones either. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's not one thing wrong with weeping over the loss of a loved one. But you also need to realize something else. The Bible says, precious in the Lord are the death of his saints. Listen, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in his sight. Precious in his sight. What happened was this. Your daddy saved, walked up to the doorway of death, walked through, his old body crumpled to the ground. It broke your heart. It was your nighttime. You started weeping over him and had to go deposit his body. But something you didn't see was what happened that same instant when his body crumpled to the ground, when he stepped through the doorway. Because over here was the Heavenly Father saying, precious in my sight is the death of my son. He didn't have a right to take my daddy. He didn't take your daddy. He took his son. Some of you got mad when God took your daddy and said, God didn't have any right to take my daddy. If your daddy was saved, he wasn't just your daddy. He was a Heavenly Father's son. And you say, but daddy died. Not to the Father. To the Father, he just went home. Amen. And the Father said, precious, come on home, precious son. I've been waiting for you. Come on home. That mother of yours that was saved, that was God's daughter. That son of yours that died in infancy, broke your heart. You said, but oh, God, why didn't you take my boy? He didn't. He took his boy. And he had every right to do it. The key to your victory is just don't get mad at God when he takes one of his young'uns home. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing worse than coming down to the doorway of death and not going to be with Jesus and not going to be with the Heavenly Father. Because you're not going to heaven because of your physical birth, but because of your heavenly birth. You've got to belong to God. Man, it's not according to I'm a Shipman or a Jones or a Smith. You've got to be born of God. You've got to belong to God. You've got to be saved, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. But when you step through that doorway, somebody's got to do something with the body. And if I died tonight, Mama Shipman, no little Shipmans, would have to have my funeral. But I've already given my wife instructions.
One day we went to the funeral of our cousin. It was one of the saddest occasions I've ever been to. And it was so sad that outside the church I told my wife, I said, Honey, don't let them sing any of those sad songs at my funeral. I said, you let them sing something like Victory in Jesus. And I said, not only that, as many airplanes as I fly and as many cars as I had to drive in, one of those airplanes may fall or that car may wreck and I may die and the children are still small. But I said, if I do and they come by to view my remains, you tell the children before they come and see me in the casket that Jesus didn't make any mistake when he came after Daddy. I want my children and wife to know I love them, but I'm not only my wife's husband. I'm not only my children's daddy. I'm my Heavenly Father's son. And one of these days, I'm headed to the house to be with my Father. And you are too, if you say. So the death doesn't have to be a fearful thing, because Jesus took the sting out of death, oh, to destroy it. And you know what the Bible says? Bible says his whole body's going to be deposited like in a field, a garden. And the scripture says it'll come up in the resurrection morning. Said it's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. Said it's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Say, what does that mean? I had a church member one time died with cancer. It just ate away his body. It ate away his glory. Oh, he was a fine man at one time, strong man. But oh, cancer ate all of it away, took all of his strength, took all of his manliness. And oh, when you went to visit him, you could hear him scream and holler. And when they put him in the ground, it wasn't anything but an old emaciated body. But wait till you see it in the resurrection. Oh, wait till he gets his new body. You say, what's it like, preacher? It's like popcorn. It's like popcorn, folks. You put popcorn in a store and you put the heat to it. All of a sudden, something starts happening to all those corns, those kernels. And first thing you know, when you open the top, they're dressed out in glory. They're the same thing, but they sure have been changed. Well, that's what the resurrection is to the saints of God. You may put me in the ground and say, boy, he sure did lose all of his glory. But you wait till I get decked out in the resurrection when God puts the right amount of heat and the right amount of circumstances to it. And the saints are going to be decked out in glory. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We have a better time coming. Now listen to me and I'm through. Now if you're not saved here tonight, you're having a good time. Now listen to me very carefully. There's some of you here in this building, the reason you don't want to get saved is you're having too good a time. But what you must realize, this is the best time you'll ever have. This is the only good time you'll ever have. Because this is your heaven. And things are going to get bad even here while you're having your good time. But they'll never get so bad but what they'll be worse when you go through the doorway of eternity. And let me say something to the saints. Don't you be envious of the sinners who are having their good time in singing. Because they're going through the same death process we're going through. And it's going to get worse for us. But it's never going to get so bad. But what is going to be better one of these days? So if I was you, sir, I'd count the cost. And I'd see if I was going to have to die and taste the death and go to hell myself or realize Jesus Christ died for my sins and went to hell for me. That's the reason he came back out of the graveyard after 3 days, because death couldn't hold him. Death tried to. Death held on to him. But death had a hold of life in the third day. He became victorious over death, the hell, and the grave. And you say, what's going to happen to you when you die, preacher? I'm going to come up to the doorway of death and say, thank you, Jesus. You've already defeated death, and you got the keys to death. So open it up and let me in, Lord. And he'll open it up and let me into my eternal home. You say, will it happen? It'll happen as sure as you're sitting there. See, one thing that's inevitable, you will die. But death doesn't have to be a doorway to hell. Thank God it can be a doorway to heaven and everything worth having. Let's stand for our prayer, would you? With every head bowed and every eye closed. There's some of you here tonight unsaved. There's some of you here tonight think, well, I'm having such a good time. I don't want to think about dying. But see, death's no respecter of persons, dear brother. Dear lady, death's no respecter of persons. Young folks, it can get you too, and it will. Someday, I don't know whether you'll live past tonight or tomorrow night. I don't know how long you'll live, but I won't tell you. Death's coming. Death's coming. Some of you are not ready to die. Some of you are not ready to die, and you need to be saved tonight. And there's some of you who are saved, but you felt hard at God when he took your daddy. You felt hard at God when he took your mother. There's some of you felt hard at God when he took your loved ones. I'm not saying I wouldn't do the same. I don't know. All I know is one day I realized that death was my daddy's friend. Oh, sometimes I think I'd like to see Dad, but someday I will. But see, I'm going to heaven to see my Heavenly Father because I'm his son. And there's some of you here tonight who need to be saved. Now I want to pray for you.